Laudato Jesus Christus. This is the English program of Vatican Radio.
Hello and welcome to this edition of our English feature program. I'm Philippa Hitchin. Coming up today, Pope Benedict meets with the Russian Orthodox representative for relations with other churches. We hear from Metropolitan Hilarion himself about his hopes for progress on the journey towards full Christian unity. The church in the former communist nation of Albania hosts a major meeting of European bishops on the evangelization of Europe. Hear from the Archbishop of Tirana about the challenges he faces 2 decades on from the fall of the oppressive atheist regime. But first, celebrating the feast of Saint Gabriel. In this, our 80th anniversary year, Vatican Radio marks the feast day of the patron saint of telecommunications. September the 29th marks the feast day of the archangels Michael, Raphael and Gabriel, the latter named by Pope Pius XII in 1951 as the patron saint of telecommunications. Since Vatican Radio was founded in 1931, and since this has been a year of celebrations for our 80th anniversary, this feast day was marked in a special way on Thursday by a mass celebrated in the Lourdes Grotto in the Vatican Gardens by the Cardinal Secretary of State Tarcisio Bertone, surrounded by Vatican Radio staff past and present.
Riandiamo col pensiero a quel 12 febbraio 1931, quando la voce ferma di Papa Pio XI risuonò.
In his homily, Cardinal Bertone recalled the first radio broadcast by Pope Pius XI in February 1931, noting his ability to see the extraordinary potential for spreading the gospel to the ends of the earth offered by this new means of telecommunication.
Ascoltate, cieli e terra, le parole della mia bocca, esordì.
The challenge for those working at Vatican Radio today, he said, is to translate that gospel message into different languages, but above all into words that can easily be understood by people of such different cultures and mentalities.
Devono essere resi comprensibili e fruibili secondo le diverse mentalità e culture.
Benedict XVI met on Thursday at Castel Gandolfo with the head of the Russian Orthodox Church's Department for External Relations, Metropolitan Hilarion Alfayev. The Orthodox Archbishop, a noted theologian, church historian and composer, spent the past 2 days meeting with Vatican officials to discuss the ongoing dialogue between the two churches. Since he took over this key post, Metropolitan Hilarion has met twice before with the Pope, in September 2009, and again when he organised a concert in honour of the Pontiff in May 2010. Though there was no official communique following the private encounter, their talks were part of the ongoing improvement in relations between the Catholic and Russian Orthodox churches, as Metropolitan Hilarion himself told me at the end of his 2-day visit to the Vatican. This is your third meeting with Pope Benedict, isn't it, since you took over as head of the Department for External Relations. What can you tell us about your meeting, your conversation this morning?
His Holiness is the man of faith. And whenever I meet with him, I am encouraged by his spirit, by his courage, and by his dedication to the life of the Church worldwide. And of course, I am very impressed by his knowledge of the Orthodox tradition and by the attention which he pays to the dialogue between the Catholics and the Orthodox. I noted that just a few days ago, when he was in Germany, he met with the representatives of the Orthodox churches in Germany, and he spoke about the ongoing dialogue between the Catholic and the Orthodox churches. And I believe that this attitude of the primate of the Roman Catholic Church will greatly help us in our way towards better mutual understanding.
During that meeting with Orthodox leaders in Germany, the Pope also welcomed the increase in pan-Orthodox cooperation, didn't he? And yet, there are still many obstacles on the road towards the organization of this pan-Orthodox Council. What are your hopes in that sense?
We in the Russian Orthodox Church do not see many obstacles on the way towards the pan-Orthodox Council. And we believe that this council can be organized in the near future if, of course, there are no new obstacles which may arise. For example, there is now discussion about how the process of decision-making should be going on this council and in the preparatory committees towards the council. And traditionally, for the last 50 years during which we prepared this council, the decision-making process was based exclusively on the principle of consensus. And this is, of course, the only principle which allows the churches to have their interests represented. And we do not see any possibility to change this method of decision-making, while there are some voices which call for changing this method from consensus to the simple majority vote. And, of course, for us it is unacceptable. So if we agree on the procedure, on the decision-making, on the protocol, on the themes, then there are no obstacles left.
Would you agree, though, that difficulties about the question of authority within the Orthodox world remain one of the major obstacles to dialogue with the Catholic Church?
I would say that there are certain divergences and there are different positions of the Orthodox churches on the question of the primacy. And as we discuss the primacy of the Bishop of Rome within the framework of the Mixed Commission, we do not only discuss the primacy of Rome, but we have to touch the issue of the primacy in general. And here, of course, we have different traditions, not only between the Catholics and the Orthodox, because we never had such centralized system as the Catholics have, but we also have some differences among the Orthodox as to what should be the role of the first hierarch in the Orthodox Church. We believe that his role should be the primacy of honor, and also he is accorded some coordinating role. For example, he can convene the Pan-Orthodox Council, while, of course, previously in the history of the ecumenical councils, it was not the Patriarch of Constantinople, neither was it the Pope of Rome, but it was the emperor who convened the councils. So we have this model which is emerging in the Orthodox tradition, but generally for centuries we had a very decentralized administration. Each autocephalous church is fully independent from other churches in its self-governance, and therefore we do not have a very clear picture as to what should be the role of the primate in the Orthodox tradition. And without having this clear and unified vision, we cannot easily discuss the issue of how we see the role of the primus inter pares in the universal church.
So hopes for progress in the near future, it's fair to say, expectations must not be placed too high at the moment.
Probably not too high, but still there is hope, because if there is willingness to accommodate different positions and to produce a paper or several papers maybe which would clearly state the differences, which would outline the way forward, then we can progress. If a particular Orthodox Church will want to impose its own vision of this primacy on other churches, then, of course, we will encounter difficulties, and this is what is happening at the moment. So once we overcome this spirit of, I would say, unnecessary and unduly pressure on the Orthodox churches from a particular church, then we can progress, I believe, very rapidly.
In a couple of years, of course, the churches of East and West will be celebrating the 1,700th anniversary of Emperor Constantine's Edict of Milan. And there are hopes, or perhaps speculation, that this could be the opportunity for a first meeting between Pope Benedict and Patriarch Kirill. What are your own hopes in this sense?
We believe that such meeting will take place sometime in the future. We are not yet ready to discuss the date or the place or the protocol of such meeting, because what matters for us primarily is the content of this meeting. As soon as we agree on the content, on the points on which we still disagree or have divergent opinions, then I believe we can have this meeting. But it requires a very careful preparation, and we should not be hurrying up, and we should not be pressed to have this meeting at a particular point of time.
Finally, in the Catholic world, many ordinary people are quite frustrated by the lack of progress in this dialogue at leadership level. Many people in the pews worship and work together very closely and would like to see more progress. What is the situation in Russia, in the Orthodox world? Is this the same thing happening there or not?
You mean among the Orthodox and the Catholics?
Ordinary faithful, yes. How much do they want to work closer together?
I think there are many ways in which Orthodox and Catholics can work together, and this is what already happens in many regions, including Russia. We have very good cooperation with the Catholic community in Moscow and in other cities of Russia, as well as in other countries where the Russian Orthodox Church has its canonical jurisdiction, for example, in the Ukraine. We have still some difficulties with the Greek Catholics, but it's a long story which derives from the past and from the unfortunate events of the past.
But are you hoping there is new progress with the new leader of the Greek Catholic Church there?
Yes, we observe with satisfaction his first steps and the statements which he makes, which indicate his willingness to collaborate closely with the canonical Orthodox Church of Ukraine, which is the Ukrainian Orthodox Church of the Moscow Patriarchate. And he already met with His Beatitude Metropolitan Vladimir of Kyiv and all Ukraine. And I believe all these are positive signs.
My thanks there to Metropolitan Hilarion Alfayev, head of the Russian Orthodox Church's Department for External Relations. Evangelization of Europe, It's the theme of the next Synod of Bishops set for October 2012, and it's also the theme of the plenary assembly of the CCEE, the Council of European Bishops Conferences, taking place from Thursday to Sunday in the Albanian capital, Tirana. For the first time in the history of the former communist country, the heads of the bishops' conferences of 33 European nations, plus other interested church leaders, will be meeting together there to discuss ways of making the church more relevant and more able to reach out to people of all backgrounds and all walks of life. Ecumenism, education, problems of religious intolerance, the impact of the media, as well as solidarity with Africa and the Middle East, all these areas of concern will come under the spotlight at the meeting, which will also elect a new president and two vice presidents to serve for the coming 5 years. But what exactly are the aims and the goals of this encounter, and how significant is its location in a nation where the church was all but annihilated under one of the most oppressive former communist regimes? Well, I put those questions to the Archbishop of Tirana, Rok Mirdita, who also heads the Albanian Bishops' Conference. This is the first major meeting of the Council of European Bishops' Conferences in Albania.
Right.
How important is it for the church in your country?
I think, and I believe it is very, very, very important for many reasons. But, in the sense, for example, that having in mind and knowing, the history of the church and the Catholic Church, not only in the last, the half of the last century, but for centuries, because being that a period that was almost 500 years under Ottoman domination, and then the most rigid dictatorship of communist dictatorship for 50 years in Albania was really the Catholics in Albania were deprived of so many rights and isolated completely. So barely they managed to preserve the faith. So having this meeting, the representatives of the highest representatives of the hierarchy of the church of all Europe, it's very encouraging and gives sense of a very strong message that we are not, just in suburbia of Europe or completely ignored or neglected, but we are part of the church, which is a Catholic church of all Europe, and then especially now, where we are looking, part of, to get integrated in European, institutions, I think this then is not only only for Catholics, but in general for the Albanians. And this is viewed in this way, even from the highest authorities and in general for the people.
In fact, the president and the prime minister will both be meeting with the leaders, won't
yes,
they?
Yes, the prime minister, and I just met him yesterday. He is very, very, very excited about that. And then he's going to address, the assembly at the beginning, at the opening. The president is very cordially expressed his readiness to receive all the members at his, Palace of Brigade, it's called, where the dignitaries are usually, received. And then even the president of the parliament, this is, I would say, somehow out of the protocol, because I invited her to participate because she's a Catholic, mass on Sunday, and then to join us at the closing of the meeting. So in this sense, practically all the highest, authorities are going to somehow be involved in this very important event.
What does it mean also for interfaith relations? Because I believe there'll be a moment for meeting with Muslim
yes,
and Orthodox.
Again, I could say we're very happy that, because I have some experience being that I myself had opportunity to participate in meetings every year in different countries. But it's going to be the first time that they are going to be present. They are invited for a lunch. And this tells, very clearly, expresses the relationship that exists between the different communities and gives a very strong message, a message that is very dearly accepted and received by the Albanians in general, without any difference of their religious denomination. of that what in Albania already is very strong, and there are, I mean, the harmony that exists, I mean, the very good relations that between the religious communities, and I think that is going to confirm once again that what already here in Albania is practiced.
The new evangelization of Europe is, of course, central to this
yes.
papacy of Pope Benedict XVI.
Yes. Yes.
What does it mean, the new evangelization for you, for the church there
yeah.
in Albania?
Yeah, throughout the 20 years, following the fall of the communism, Albania certainly has been infected, by Western European consumerism and secularism. And in this context, new evangelization should mean, presented the Christian message as a meaningful message. And I think I'm sure that it's going to contribute to society too, but neither consumerism nor secularism can afford to contribute. Naturally, I mean, we deal with the people, for example, that didn't have no experience at all about the Vatican Council II. Because at the time, Albania was completely in dark, a kind of blackout in every sense for any information, especially from the part of the church. And try to give, that elementary evangelization is about the people who really, unfortunately, had not the opportunity to go to the normal process of education. And then trying to somehow to give the message in the specific circumstances that Albania is going through, which means, especially for the young people, that Albanians are interested. Naturally, they had not that opportunity like the other people, European countries that enjoyed the freedom, but they are open, they want, they look for this. So in this sense, remains now a very, very big responsibility to us, to bishops and to clergy and to church in general, to give in such a form that is going to be very acceptable in the specific circumstances that the Albanian people find themselves as. In general, we have rather idea of what evangelization implies. Certainly, we must feel very lucky that we have possibility of addressing our faithful rather through the homilies every Sunday that, thank God, the churches are pretty good, frequented in the Sunday celebration. And this is one way to educate them according to gospel values, and to install in them a missionary responsibility too. Naturally, we must not ignore the opportunity to educate our youth, who is very open and very ready to listen and to get involved in those all activities that the church and under the care of the church are organized. They are really ready, and this is a good opportunity to get in touch and to have them, to make them to get interested and come closer every day, be formated within the church framework.
What kind of support are you looking for from the churches in the West, who are often in a very different situation to yours?
Yes, well, we've been blessed because, for example, when I came practically, let's say, in my diocese, the diocese was nothing, literally nothing. No infrastructure, churches or anything. So we did with the help, with the generous help of the churches from Europe, managed in a relatively short time to build and rebuild the basic infrastructure, and churches and institutions that are necessarily to spread the gospel. And today, thank God, we are in a very good condition with this. And what is more important is naturally the missionaries, that they were ready to come and leave the commodity in their countries and dedicate, complete themselves here, and start with evangelization. And today, I could say, having this all in mind, the church did make very much, I mean, progress in this country. So in a sense that not that we already, the fruits are already that myself that I came, I mean, less than 20 years ago, but in the society in general, which is very much recognized by all, I mean, people of Albania, starting from the high authorities, from the government, and other, I mean, religious communities that are present in Albania.
As you say, it has been an extraordinary progress over the past 20 years.
Yes.
But what do you see as the most difficult problems facing you, facing the church today
well,
in Albania?
Well, to be honest, I mean, probably this sounds a little bit, could sound, I mean, a little bit as I'm criticizing, but the problem is, it's a new kind of phenomenon, is this that young people now, especially the people that are in middle age, are returning a lot from the various countries they did work. Because of the economic situation that now and the crisis that are going through, and they bring themselves as instead that we thought they might be a door for them. That they are going to see somehow be enlightened more about the influence and what the church does and did in European countries. Sometimes they, not sometimes, more of them, they turn with kind of pessimism and kind of hedonism in the sense that they were, I mean, disappointed, thinking that they might find really there, I mean, the kind of model of church going people and model of Christians, they are disappointed, they turn, and many times they lost the desire or that to practice every day, I mean, or every Sunday, or to practice religion, because they say, well, I used to be there, frequent the church, and it happened that I find myself in my age to be alone somehow. So naturally, we need the people integrate now in this culture, with this situation of our standards, economy, way of life, and try to make them more interested, not just for the financial matters, but to pay more attention to the spiritual and to the needs of the others that are so much in Albania now, I would say, very acute.
My thanks there to Archbishop Rok Mirdita of Tirana, head of the Albanian Bishops' Conference. And that's all from me, Philippa Hitchin, and from all of us here at the English programme for today. Join us again at this same time tomorrow if you can, or find all our news and feature programmes on the internet, www.vaticanradio.org/English. Listening to Vatican Radio. Laudato Jesus Christus.